kind of got me stuck.
Oh, shut up, will you? Thank you this and thank you that. I don't care. Yeah, you think this is done? I'm the first person who ever gave you an interview. I've got news for you, fucker. This is your last interview with anybody ever. I'm gonna fucking kill you.
Just kidding. Maybe you should switch to decaf.
This is the fucked up part. I'm not even on drugs. I am just like this.
I get so confused. I came in today to the club. I saw the set list and times and bands on the wall, and I was like, I don't recognize any of these bands. How did these bands get on the bill? Who is this band Pizza Rolls? And who is this band Chicken Wings? Then I realized I was looking at the menu.
Yeah.
I thought
we said the same thing. We started it said concert menu.
Concert menu.
So we thought that was what was playing.
Chicken Wings. How did they get on the bill?
And it's $4.75 to get in to see them.
Yeah, they're 7 hours long.
No.
Yeah, I get pretty confused.
All right, so now I'm more serious thing here. Now, it's been about 4 years or so since you guys put out the last album. So you guys are a new war
party. What the fuck are you talking about? 4 years since the last album? Are you higher than me? So we've been, our new album has been out since October. All right, 4 years.
Yeah. So what the hell were you guys doing?
I'm the one on crack. It wasn't quite 4 years ago. It was like, it came out right before we blew up the World Trade Center. So it was I guess it was. That was a long time. Well, first of all, we're lazy as fuck, you know. And we're fucking totally hopelessly addicted to drugs. And, you know, we did a lot of laying around, jacking off, raping midgets and that kind of thing. It's like, oh, album, what, whatever. But, you know, if I can get out of the odorous character for a second, just talk to you like Dave Brocky, artist, musician, pedophile, dog, rapist. Actually, odorous and Dave are the same person, so it doesn't really matter. We have a fuckload of reasons. We were down to the last record with Metal Blade after Violence has arrived. And, you know, nothing against Metal Blade. They've been our home for many years, but there's a lot of things we wanted to negotiate with them before we signed the option to do the last record, and we didn't get what we wanted. So we were like, you know what? We're gonna look around elsewhere and see if we can find another label. And that took a while. It took a long time. I could tell Guar had gotten to the point, like, before Violence Has Arrived came out. It kind of, the future of Guar was really in doubt because, you know, we made a couple albums that I consider not our strongest efforts. And the band was in a kind of state of continual chaos. So the band, you know, I've had the same, you know, Chismack and Ballsack, the drummer and guitar player. I've had them, you know, since the beginning. But, you know, the lead guitar and the bass player, you know, I've had a couple different people doing that over the years. And we just, I don't know, it was just, we were bored with the label. Our albums have gotten to the point where they weren't really albums about music anymore. They were more about albums about just making fun of ourselves, you know? It was just like, and even though I know fans love songs like Fish Fuck and Fucking an Animal and the really super over-the-top comedy stuff, you know, we had lost a lot of support because a lot of people were like, well, yeah, I love Scumdogs and America Must Be Destroyed, but after that, you know, it's shit. You know, and that's, I just think we were experimenting a lot and also going through a lot of things with just our personnel and the way we were making our music, and it was just kind of got really confusing for a little while, but we knew we had a mess, and then Violence Has Arrived was a fit. We knew we were really deeply in debt. We were fucking, you know, many tens of thousands of dollars in debt. You know, we were getting off Metal Blade. And then we made Violence Has Arrived, and so we got a really good buzz on that album from the critics for the first time in years, you know, and started reestablish Guar as not only this crazy show on earth, but as one of the preeminent fucking metal bands out there. And, but to segue off Metal Blade and also to make the changes we needed to do in our business, and then get on the new label and get going with that, it took like 3 fucking years to sort all that shit out. And then it took another year to fucking write the record. So there you go, that's 4 years. But you know, it's like, you know, I had the Dave Brock experience thing going on in there as well. And that wasn't just to fill up time or to try to get me into something that was, you know, that could get me away from war or whatever, but far from it. What was happening was like, I write the fish fucks, the fucking animals, the hard for retards. I write all those punk rock fucked up songs. And what was happening was we didn't have a consistent enough lineup in the band that these songs were finding their way onto Guar albums. And I needed to have another outlet to kind of, if Guar was going to get heavy and kind of evil again, and I mean, don't get me wrong, Guar's always going to be hilarious, you know, but if we were going to get evil with the songwriting, you know, I needed to have an outlet for all these, I write these songs fucking constantly, it's just stupid little ditties, I write them in 5 seconds. And I needed to fucking get them out and record it and just get them out of my system so I could fucking concentrate on Guar. And, you know, so we basically reordered everything, reshuffled everything, reset everything up, and goddamn, if things are just not rolling so great right now, you know, for the first time in years, we're out of fucking debt, we're about to, like, purchase group insurance for all our employees, fucking reconquered Canada, fucking we're going back to Europe, we just got on this huge festival tour, the album's selling great, everybody loves our new record, people are stoked about our music, you know, we've always had the greatest fucking show, but now, you know, again, people are really, I mean, like, really, really into our shit, you know, musically,
it does, I mean, the new album rocks, and it's I noticed the lyrics seem a little more mature for Guar lyrics, you know, it's a little more political, you know, a little more commentary on things now.
Sure, I mean, the last, you know, this is all part of the plan to, like, kind of get back into the top of the heap of the metal bands, and the first record that went in that direction, the Violent Thrive record, I kind of, on purpose, dumbed the lyrics down a little bit even, like, only with the exception of a couple songs like Happy Death Day, it's pretty much, that record comes off like, you know, a Dungeons and Dragons on acid, you know, kind of metal album. That's cool. Lure them back in, and then with War Party, just take their heads off, yeah, because the lyrics in War Party are like the most hatefully eloquent lyrics I've written in a long time, and it's consistent. It's just like, you know, it's just like I got so sick of War albums sounding like 1,800 fucking different bands, you know? It's like I wanted to start our band just making shit that was just, no matter what song you listened to, it was going to fucking rock. And, you know, it's really, I mean, I've never had so much fun being Guar as I'm having now. It's fucking, how many bands get to fucking learn from their mistakes for 20 fucking years and still have the support of the fucking greatest fucking bands in rock and roll? And every day I meet people who are coming to see Guar for the first time, you know? And they're kids.
The verge of death fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Great. Kids came out to interview me yesterday, a 17-year-old kid. It was the first time he'd ever seen Guar. He was smart as fuck and totally great questions and, you know, knew all of our shit. And I was just like, just 17, and you realize I'm, you know, a lot, you know, I'm like 20 years older than you are. Dude. And it's so funny. You know, back when I was a kid and that age, the idea of, like, I don't know. I thought people that were like 25 were old, you know. Like back when I was in the hardcore scene, I'd be like, and it was when hardcore was just beginning. That's how old I am. I'm 41 now.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, I hated people that were 21 back then when I was, they do, you know, get the fuck out of the scene, you know, you're old, whatever. And then it's just like, you get old and you realize, man, I'm still alive. And I better be having fun while I'm here because you only go around once. And it's like fucking Guar is just fucking. It's fucking sweet fucking revenge. It's beautiful.
I remember the first time I got a glimpse of you guys. It was on some videotape, video magazine, Metal Edge video thing. And they had like a 2-minute glimpse of you guys. And I saw it and I was like, holy shit. You know, and you just mentioned it's going on 20 years now.
Yeah.
Or so, I mean, what do you have to say to the naysayers back in the beginning, you know, wrote you guys off as a novelty band and said they were never going to go anywhere? What do you have to say to those jerks?
Well, I mean, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion, but man, how wrong could they be? You know, it's like, and people finally are starting to abandon that because it's just like, you know, you don't fucking put out 10 records and have, you know, sell hundreds of thousands of them and have, you know, thousands, you know, it's just like,
There's no way this band would have lasted two albums if the music sucked.
Right, but that's the one thing everybody looks at. Everybody, they can't get past the costumes, all the fake blood. But when you get onto the deal on it, you guys are the fucking phenomenal musicians. You're an incredible front man. It's just all out war out there. It's so fun, man.
I firmly believe, you know, over the years, that Guar was going to be just as big as we got it, as we made it become. You know, I'm not like one of these people that are like, you know, Guar. You know, as far as like people actually in the band or associated with the band, you know, I think for a while, you know, they might have thought that we were headed for the scrapping. You know, it's just like I never doubted for a second. You know, I don't to this day that the biggest things that Guar are going to do are in the future. I mean, I think this band one day is going to be just so fucking huge. It's going to be a worldwide fucking just insanity. And it's, I have every intention of continuing this thing after I'm dead. We're going to franchise in. We're going to fucking, we got our shit together. We've been a corporation for 18 years. You know, we have shareholders, we have stock, you know, we have a corporate charter, we have a great royalty division system, and we know what the fuck we're doing. And we're, you know, it's like Walt Disney didn't stop happening when Walt Disney died.
Right.
You know, it's just like, well, our kids will fucking pick up the fucking things. We'll spawn replacements, and this fucking band will keep going. We'll fucking call it Son of Guar. Or obviously, we could just add another G to Guar. You know, tonight appearing, opening for Guar. Guar 2.
Or maybe you get to kids when they're young and do like the mini Kiss Me Guar, or get the midgets or something.
Guar tribute band. We haven't even been to Japan yet, dude. It's like, I know we're gonna get there someday.
I can't believe you guys have been to Japan. I mean,
it's almost happened a couple times, but it's just, you know, it's a, to get Guar and all our shit in Japan, the personnel and all the costumes and everything, you know, it's a lot of fucking money.
Right. Yeah, but you would think, like, maybe based on their love of Kiss and all the crazy monster movies and shit.
But they also have a very prestigious and clean
Yeah, you really can't be spraying blood everywhere. They all
I don't know what I'm like. You know, everyone's like, oh, they're gonna love you guys, but we'll see. I think they're gonna freak out for whatever.
Like you were saying about the franchise thing. I mean, you said you've had several guys, different guys that were like Beefcake and that. And
yeah, three different Gladys's and three different Beefcakes. So it's the other band position.
I mean, the beautiful part is, like, on the album, it doesn't list them, but it just lists them as their character name. Same with you. You know,
it depends. On the Bob and Rock albums, we actually get, like, individual credits for our stuff.
Oh, okay.
Out of six. But,
and just in theory, how the hell would you get the, you gotta find a guy that's gonna pull off you.
See, I wouldn't make him the odorous. Or maybe I would. I mean, I've never met a performer that I thought could get pulled off, but I'm sure there's somebody out there.
I just wondering how to help you get fired.
I would still write all the dialogue for him or whatever.
You guys are
talking. Daniel, copy at the, you know, there's a fucking coffee maker that's in the aquarium. This is ours, you know, we're sharing all. That's share. Back there, I back there somewhere is a coffee maker, so you can get fired up.
So, John. So, now, one thing I want to talk about, this tour out, you guys are kind of a stripped-down version of Guar. There's no Slime Monster, there's no Sleazy. Now, with a bit of a slimmer version of the band, you guys slim up the stage show a little bit, too, with less blood?
Oh, God, man, we got more blood than ever. And that's the weird thing. A lot of people are like, because you still have more blood. I think it's just, I know for a fact we have more blood now than ever. I mean, we just spend, you know, like, $2,000 on all these new tanks. And it's like, I just think, like, the first time you see Guar, you're so blown away by it. There's, like, no way we could ever have that much blood again,
right.
You know. But, that was another thing that was fucking Guar. You know, I love those characters. I love, you know, Slime Master and Sleazy and all those characters. They're fucking awesome. But you know what? It got really shitty to have
so many fucking people on tour with you that nobody can make any fucking money, and there's so many people around, more people hanging around backstage than there are on stage.
Right.
You know, and you know, they're great, they contribute, they're wonderful and everything, but it was just like, you know, I got fucking sick of fucking being up there singing a song, and you know, here's Slime Extra and Six Engineer and Eight Slaves all, you know, dancing around behind me like, you know, like it's a fucking clown fucking show, you know. I was fucking, with all those fucking characters in the band, it just got really hard, and none of them were playing instruments or singing, so it got really fucking hard to know what kind of band we even were, and, you know, we just couldn't fucking take it, man. We were just, in a lot of ways, that little pause there between Violence and this one, we were letting the dust settle, we're letting people just kind of, you know, take off, you know, because, yeah, we had to eat our own to survive, you know. It was just like, let's trim down a little bit, let's get rid of some of these extra characters. I mean, we never told anyone they couldn't be in Guar. These people all decided they wanted to move on and do different things, you know?
No. Prime Minister was, like, doing the Girly Food show and all that.
Successful. She's now working with this thing called Brothers Grimm. It's, like, right, theater company and everything. And she's booked, like, the next 2 or 3 years solid with that shit. Yeah, we'll still get guest star appearances with these guys. I mean, they might be on a tour every now and then or whatever, but, you know, it's, like, pretty much just Odorous and the guys and their slaves killing anything that they can get their fucking hands on, and, yeah, I mean, the slaves have to help me a little bit more, you know, than they used to, but
they're slaves.
They're slaves. I still manage to deliver pretty much every death blow, and, you know, it's fucking awesome. It's like I finally got rid of it, really swing my fucking sword instead of you. You guys, the way Odorous is just such a fuck-up, a fucker, and violent maniac that, you know, just the idea of letting someone else kill something before him is just, he won't have it, you know. He's just like, I must kill everything and get all the attention, and I don't want Slime Master up there or anybody else except for my band and my slaves, and we're fucking killing. And it's worked well. It's like, it's worked really well. We feel like we're a fucking band playing again. It's just like we don't have so many fucking people on tour. I mean, I remember going on tour with like 2 tour buses and like 24 motherfucking people. We got 5 guys in the band, we got our backup crew of like 5 guys, and, you know, the t-shirt, blah, 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 you know, we're rolling like 14 people now, it's fucking great.
Right.
It's smoother, more efficient, you know, the show is just as crazy as ever, and we're making more money. So, and, you know, everybody's happy. We're all fucking happy about it.
That's cool. Make more money, buy more crack, work harder, you make more money, buy more crack.
Hang on.
Let's see. Well, you kind of covered most of my questions. I was going to ask you.
Yeah, fucking get me going. I'll talk all fucking day. It's crazy.
Right, let's see. What else was I going to ask? I had a whole list of shit. I'm an idiot. I went to print the questions out. So we have to leave here and go. There's a leave here, fly down to Wilkes-Barre, interview Joe Queer from the Queers, and then sit back up here for the show. So.
Oh, fucking. Tell Joe Queer, Odorous, says, what up?
Okay. But I'm going to be asking some stuff about the Ramones. I think he's good friends with those guys.
Yeah. Fucking one of my favorite all-time bands.
Did you ever get a chance to meet any of those guys?
Well, the Queers?
No, from the Ramones.
Oh, yeah. I met Joey a few times. He was one fucked up motherfucker. No wonder he died so young. I don't know what he was on, but every time I met him, he was completely fucking on a different planet. You know?
And he was pretty spaced.
He loved us, though. He was checking out our costumes. I hung out with him for a while. He's a really cool guy. But, all those years of sniffing Carbona spot remover or whatever it is they used to do. Sniffing glue. That shit, that'll fuck you up. Yeah. It will fuck you up for life. But, that was the only Ramone I ever met. They were, you know, one of the defining moments of my life. I was like 17 years old. I wanted to go see the Ramones. It was 1980. You know, just when they were starting to get a little big. And I was right in the front row. Johnny Ramone with me a guitar pick. And right then, I was like, that's gonna be me one day. I was gonna be a guitar player. I was such a sure guitar player.
Good thing. A lot of people consider you guys to be, you know, one of the greatest metal bands ever come out, myself included. I mean, you guys, the fans are so, like,
necessity, guys, and I don't want to be like a brown noser or nothing here, you know, but, you know, of the guys that are coming out now, the newer kids coming up in the metal thing, who are you liking now that's coming up?
I really like this band, All That Remains, that's opening up for us tonight. They're really cool. They got a cool, melodic train wreck of sounds. You know, they're very, very heavy, very metal, but there's kind of a little punky flavor to it, a little. But they're not afraid to fucking whip out, you know, double leads and fucking fill the great lead singer. I like them a lot. I like that band. See, it's weird. I don't really listen. I'm not as well versed on like what's coming out because I fucking really don't know where to start. I'm so busy with my band and my own trip, you know. It's like it's hard for me to keep up music. But so I just kind of let music. And also, it's like when I like a record, I listen to it over and over again, and don't listen to any other record. And I will do it for months, and I'll listen to the same record like 9 times in one day. You know, and then so it's like that kind of limits, you know, you listen to new bands. But occasionally, I just kind of let music collide with me, and if I hear something I like, I'll go, well, "What is that?" And I like that band Chimera a lot. They fucking are a really fucking cool band. Today I'm going to be listening to Every Time I Die. People have been telling me this band was really, really great, so I'm going to check them out today. You know, I really like the new Clutch record a lot. That was fucking badass. Of course, I love Lamb of God. They're our fucking homeboys. They're from Richmond. They've been our buddies forever. And for them to get so successful is mind-blowing. I really, really love their music. Yeah, I'm more enthused about metal than I was about 4 years ago. Everything was all Korn-esque, and I like Korn, but it was just like that whole like Limp Bizkit metal style, you know, that shit was just nauseating to me. I hated it. Now there's a lot of really cool bands out there that I really need. Really important is this festival tour this summer because we'll be playing with a lot of every night, and I'll probably just hear who they're fucking sound like. It's like, you know, it's like listen to these bands, they're fucking tight, they're fucking hard, they're heavy, they're cool. It's like, you know, why, you better fucking step the fuck up, because these kids are going to now blow you off the stage unless you got your shit together. And it's like, and that's what we're in the process of doing, and God knows how far it's going to go, but I fully expect fucking, I don't know what, at this point, everything's so great, I'm having so much fun, and I tell you, but the best thing about the whole thing is still that that hour and a half I spent in an odorous costume, fucking getting to entertain people in that manner. It's just, I think it's the greatest part, the greatest character for, you know, for a performer to have a chance to portray, because odorous is such a fucking it's still. When I pull that fucking head on, pull on my fucking hand, get my costume on, grab my fucking sword, get out there and fucking get this huge roar of fucking bloodlust from the crowd. I mean, I get off on it every bit as hard as I ever did, you know. And I love it. I can't tell you how fucking fun it is. It's the best drug on earth right there. Oh, hell yeah. I mean, it's like I've always been, you know, into performing. It started at show and tell in kindergarten, and then, you know, theater throughout high school. And not fucking drama fag theater. We did really cool productions, and then, you know, I was even into it for all of college. And, you know, before I was just, you know, as a visual artist as well as an illustrator and a painter, it's just like, it's just such a perfect collision of so many different things, so many different ways you can express yourself. It's really, I mean, we designed for ourselves a fucking dream come true existence. And God damn it, 20 years later, it's still going strong and arguably stronger than ever. So it's like, wow, I guess I should be pretty happy. And I am. I'm a happy person. The only thing I hate about it is I spend a lot of time away from your girlfriend. And I got a hot girlfriend. I love her a lot. That's not the only thing I can complain about, man. Everything else is fucking great.
Cool. I'm going to wrap up. We got to roll here up, and I know you got to do stuff.
I know. You better wrap it up.
But, hey, man, if you get a chance tonight, if you can remember it.
Josh
from Syracuse is a full-spoken weasel.
I don't do that shit. But I'll try to remember. For you, He is like, I guess this is the guy that his whole house is just completely covered in hair. Has all these.
Oh, that's right. Okay, because he's just super. He's got all like the fucking. He's got like the
Jason Rodriguez,
and he had like every piece of watch, wearable thing.
Dude, he's got so much shit. You know, it's not even funny. And that's all I've heard for the last month. As soon as he's on
the
ground, I'm here. He's like,
my friends are all going on. This guy, Josh, his family, are the biggest block fan in the entire fucking world. So we're actually going to get him out of here. Come on, Josh, come on out of here. He'll be like, yeah. I'm like, oh, I get him. And they just had his legs just kick the shit out of him. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, I'll try to give him a shout out. But at the very least, I always forget to do that shit. But maybe we can give him a little tour backstage.
When he gets here, come find me and I'll give him a little tour backstage.
All right, cool, man. All right, Dave, thank you so much.
No problem, bro. Good to meet you again.
Good to see you again.